Now let's hear this word of the Lord from the Gospel according to John, chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. But I got to tell you, I'm excited to be here, to be sharing Christmas Eve with you. It just excites me no end. And when we're done preaching the word, we're going to have candles, and we're going to light those candles and let that light pierce the darkness and celebrate. And then we're going to go home and carry on traditions at home and just have fun. And I just love Christmas. Now, Tracy and I were talking a little earlier, and I have to agree with her. I get a little... I don't want to use that word, but I get a little uptight sometimes about Christmas. It has to go just right, you know. Got to have all those decorations on, and I make way more cookies than me and Bonnie will ever eat. And I've got Christmas containers, dishes, cans sitting all over the house with chocolate in them, and I'm not allowed to eat it, you know. It's not. You're more than welcome to stop over and help. It's not that I'm diabetic or anything. It's chocolate doesn't agree with me, but I just love that. And you know, we play that game on the day after Christmas, where you know you have the gifts, you draw a name, somebody opens up a gift, and the next person draws a name. They pick a gift and they open it up, and if they don't like it, they can steal the other person's gift. And you know, we do that until we're all done. And we'll get about 30 people come over. I probably got about 40 gifts. I just kept buying them and wrapping them and putting them in the bag. And I'm so excited. As a matter of fact, I was telling Bonnie tonight that I'm a little disappointed that we don't have a white Christmas. I always want a white Christmas. I love that. But on the other hand, it's nice that it's not nasty out. It's nice that you can get out and travel and it's safe. So what I did was I went into my freezer and I shaved down some ice and I put it in a cooler here. Okay, it's really a cotton ball. But I like to have fun, let me tell you. Not only is Christmas supposed to be fun, but being a Christian is supposed to be fun. Oh, yeah, we go through aches and pains. We have problems. There's even tragedy and heartache in our lives. But we should still smile and have fun because we know how it all turns out in the end. And if you don't, you need to talk to somebody about Jesus. We all know how it turns out in the end. Got a poem here for you. 'Twas the night Jesus came, and all through the house, not a person was praying, not one in the house. The Bibles were left on the shelf without care, for no one thought that Jesus would come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing a head. And Mom in her rocker, with baby in her lap, was watching the late show while I took a nap. When out of the east there rose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash, tore open the shutters, threw up the sash. When what to my wondering eyes should appear? but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning, just as he said. And though I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him in spite of myself. In the book of life which he held in his hand was written the name of every saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name. When he said, "It's not here," my head hung in shame. The people whose names have been written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above. With those who were ready, he rose without a sound, while all the rest were left standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if only I'd known that this was the night. In the words of this poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when comes the last call, we'll find that the Bible was true after all. Christmas. There's a story I want to share with you from Tom Shepherd. And it's about Joey. Joey's a 10-year-old boy. Christmas was an exciting time, and Joey was excited too. He was only 10 years old, and he was as excited as any 10-year-old boy could be. For him, Christmas was still a time of wonder. He did the things most 10-year-olds do. He played ball, rode his bike, climbed trees, went fishing with his dad. He was a happy kid. He just enjoyed life, every part of it. To him, life was full of wonder and amazement. And Christmas was the most wonderful time of the year. It was Christmas Eve, and the ground was white with snow. It was cold, and it was clear. The stars bright that night and seemed so close that you would have thought you could reach out and touch them with your hands. The family was on their way to the grandparents' house. That was the family tradition. Joey could hardly wait. He was excited, and his mind just raced with ideas about what he might receive this year as a present. What present would be under the tree for him this night? See, every year, the family would gather in Grandpa and Grandma's house. There was always a huge tree there, and there was always a present under the tree for each person. The kids, they would try to sneak a peek at their gift to see where it was at and what it looked like. Joey was usually one of the first ones to find out where his present was at, but this year it was different. He didn't find his present right away, even though he searched all over the place. It just wasn't under the tree. Huh. He began to worry because he couldn't find it. And then his eyes caught sight of a big box in a corner. It was a huge box, the biggest present he had ever seen. He slowly walked over to it, and sure enough, written on the tag were the letters J-O-I-E. He was grinning from ear to ear. His eyes were wide with excitement. Grandpa always handed out the presents. Grandpa was not very fast, but this year he seemed especially slow. And wouldn't you know it, Joey's name was the last one called. As soon as his name was called, Joey bolted up to Grandpa. "Is this really mine? Is this big present really mine?" Grandpa reassured him it was. As soon as he knew that it was his, he tore into the package. And what do you think he found? What do you think was inside that large box? It was the best Christmas present that Joey had ever received. So what do you think was in that box? A Ryder BB gun in the biggest box he'd ever seen? Well, Ben. Got a box full of Bibles, okay? Anybody else have an idea what was in that huge box, the best Christmas present he ever got? A what? A sled. Okay, sled. I thought maybe a bicycle, but sled. Anybody else have an idea?
Cross.
A cross. A cross. Okay, Whatever it was, it sure had Joey excited. How do you measure the value of a present? How do you judge its worth? By its size, its weight? Do you judge the worth of a present by its cost, or perhaps by its usefulness? How much trouble did you go to get the present this year for your loved one or your child? Did you go to a lot of trouble? Was it difficult for you? I'm telling you, usually every year I kind of knock my head against the wall trying to figure out, what can I get Bonnie? You know, something different, something that she'll really like. Because you know how it is, folks, don't you? Especially us older folks. If you want something during the year, you just go out and buy it. So come Christmas time, you don't really need anything. But you want to get something for your spouse, your loved one, your child, something that they'd really enjoy. Now, I know some of you like to buy the blenders and the hammers and saws. And that's nice, you know. I'm sure people appreciate washing machines and stuff like that. I can get something real personal, though. Now, for me, it's easy. Bonnie knows she just got to buy me a toy, you know. And I'm happy. But she gets me a Rubik's Cube, puts me in the corner of the room. I'm good for Christmas. Bonnie, however, you know, what can I get Bonnie? And she made it easy for me this year. She put her list on Amazon. I'm telling you, that was great, man. I just went down the list, picked out a few things, and then I went and bought some stuff that wasn't on the list, just so you know that, okay? But how much sacrifice, how much hard work, how much money do you spend on a gift for it to really be worthwhile? John chapter 1, verse 14, again, says that the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. The creative Word of God, the Word of God that created everything that we see, the whole world and everything in it, that Word became flesh. The Logos of God, the creative Word of God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And that person is Jesus Christ. Sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? The creative Word of God becomes flesh, dwells among us. I mean, after all, it's God. How hard could it be? Sounds pretty simple. But we have certainly romanticized Christmas, haven't we? I mean, we've heard all the arguments. I mean, Christmas is a lot about ka-ching. The stores, they put out the decorations, the music, the sales earlier and earlier every year. But we've also done our part to romanticize Christmas. I mean, you know, I talked about this the other week. Hallmark, all those sugary movies and all of the the Star Song. Is that from Charlie Brown?
No, but it sounds like it.
It sounds just like the song they sing in the Charlie Brown Christmas special. And so we've romanticized. I mean, look at this tree. It's absolutely gorgeous, you know. And I see some of you have got your Christmas best on. Rory, sitting next to you, yes, I love that top. I love that top. It is gorgeous. But in truth, nothing romantic about it. God went to a lot of trouble. God went to a lot of preparation and a lot of cost to give us Christmas. There was a world-shaping event taking place in 733 B.C. 733 B.C. God's chosen people, the Hebrews, they were conquered and led off into exile by Assyria. It wasn't all of the Hebrews. There were still more left. But Assyria took them captive and dragged them off to foreign lands. And then, in 597 B.C., the Babylonian hordes came in and carried off more of the Hebrews into exile. And so the Hebrew people, God's chosen people, were scattered all over the world as exiles, as slaves. But wherever they went, they took with them their culture. They took with them all of their religious teaching. So wherever they went, people heard about the prophecies about a coming Messiah. In 356 to 323 BC, there was a young general named Alexander. Alexander the Great. He rose to power. He was a genius. He rose to power and he led an army that conquered every country in the known world. And legend has it that when Alexander the Great reached the seashore, he stood there and he wept for the lack of more lands to conquer. But Alexander was special, see, because Alexander didn't want to just conquer other countries' armies. Alexander also wanted to conquer people's hearts and minds. And so Alexander introduced Hellenism into every country he went into. Every country he took over, he changed their culture by introducing Hellenism. Multi-theistic, a lot of different gods and idols, art, and also a common language, the Greek language. So everywhere that Alexander went, he introduced this, so that all over the world, then there was a common language, a common school of thought. Interesting. Alexander died at a young age, and when he did, his empire was divided up among his generals. And shortly after that, there became a new world power by the name of Rome. And Rome took over the world. They conquered everybody. And right after Rome did that, the first thing they did was Rome built roads that went into every part of their empire. So that if there was any rebellions, they could send troops right out, right away. And they also sent those troops out to collect taxes from everybody, from all their subjects. You may be familiar with the phrase, all roads lead to Rome. That's because of that. And so there was this Pax Romana. Pax Romana means forced peace, the forced peace of Rome. So people were free to travel wherever they wanted. There were roads to travel on. There was a common language to be spoken. You can worship as you please. You could go anywhere you wanted. Now there was a lot of oppression. A lot of taxation, and it was a lot of spiritual confusion because of all these different gods. People didn't know who to worship. There was moral decay, and the empire was falling apart from inside. And people wanted answers. They were fed up with the way society was going down the drain, and so they formed secret societies. They practiced self-mutilation. Trying to find answers. They wanted truth. The world was in a very, very dark place. Oppression, confusion, moral decay, and a real hunger. Pretty cool. This is all part of that gift that God made for us. He went to a lot of trouble. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says that in the fullness of time, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of being God's children. In the fullness of time, when things were just right, and it took centuries for God to put it all together, he shaped people, he shaped situations and cultures and countries. And when it was just right, when the world was ready to receive a Messiah, that's when God sent his son. God went to great lengths and great cost to prepare the world for the birth of Jesus. And in Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 14, but the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this is a sign unto you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And then a company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel and sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." We needed it. It wasn't like buying a gift for somebody that they didn't need. This was a gift that we couldn't buy ourselves all year long. This was a gift that we desperately needed. Max Lucado, I'm sure you've heard this one. Max Lucado said, "If our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a savior. Because that is our greatest need. Because of the sin in our lives, we have been estranged from God, kicked out of his house. You know, God would come down in the cool of the day, walk with Adam and Eve in the garden because he loved them. He wanted to have fellowship with them. God wants to hang out with you and me. That's why being a Christian is so wonderful, because we know how it turns out. And until we get there, God's got his arm out saying, "Come on, I'll help you. I'll help you get through this life and all its ups and downs. But I want you to come home." When Adam and Eve sinned, God banished them from the Garden of Eden. And humankind has been away from home ever since, until Jesus. Until that gift of forgiveness in that person of that wee baby in a manger. God wants us to come home. He wants us to accept that gift that we all need, that gift of forgiveness through Jesus. He wants us to come home because he loves us. God loves you, and God loves me, and he knows exactly what we need. This is the gift that we celebrate at Christmas. So let's make sure that during our celebrations, during our feasts, during our gift exchanges, let's make sure that we take time to thank God for loving us and for giving us the perfect gift. You may be wondering what was in Joey's box, but I have no idea because it didn't say. But we do know what we're celebrating at Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. God loves you, and so do I.